Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Hello. Hello again. Hello. Hello again.
Supersede the rights of parents and what they think is appropriate. And so we've enacted protections for parents, such as curriculum transparency, so that they have a right to know what books are being used and what curriculum is being taught to their kids. And unfortunately, there's bad stuff that's getting into the schools. There's pornography that's getting into the schools. So the parents have had to blow the whistle in Florida.
Their kids won't care. You're
Thank you.
I would say the best the left has to offer, but that's not really fair. I don't think that this woman was the best that the left had to offer. I think that there's far more articulate critiques that can be had of Governor DeSantis. But if you're at a DeSantis rally and you're in, was this in Iowa or is this New Hampshire? I forget now. I think it was New Hampshire anyway, or maybe South Carolina. Yeah, South Carolina. That's right. And you say, well, the way I'm going to get through is I'm going to call him a bleeping fascist. Okay, well, good. It's good to know your terms and then to misuse them. So the crowd obviously reacting pretty strongly against this, and then DeSantis.
We're not going to let you impose an agenda on our kids. We're going to stand up for our kids. We're going to make sure to do it right. That's what we're going to do.
He's a fascist because he doesn't think that kids ought to be looking at pornography in the library books, and he doesn't think that young people ought to be forced into heaven or even allowed, whichever way, to have permanent life-altering surgeries based on their temporary psychological conditions that might endure past adulthood, and at that point they can make a decision for themselves. But, fascist is the term that people like to use for anybody who disagrees with them about the shape and the contour of laws, especially about sexual or morality matters. So there you go. And here's the interesting. Here's the final follow-up from him.
Those people like that in Florida are the people we beat every single day on policy.
I would say this one point is, I don't know that I would say beats them every day on policy in Florida. I would say in Florida, writes policy and passes it with an overwhelming supermajority of the legislature. I'm not sure you can make the case that he has that overwhelming supermajority of the legislature and also that he has his own high popularity in terms of the last gubernatorial election on the basis of social issues. I think you make the case that he has that he inherited the overwhelming supermajority, built on it, no doubt, largely on the basis of COVID policy is what helped him. To whatever degree you can give DeSantis credit for having the sort of unbeatable supermajority in the legislature, it's COVID policy more than anything. I mean, of course, the man is very clearly, right of center and very conservative, and those policies have helped as well. But I think the big reason for him winning in three quarters, right, was the vote, winning the gubernatorial reelection, that's mostly COVID. I think you'd really have to have another round of governor's elections in order to decide whether the great state of Florida is really endorsing the social policy and, restrictions on books and restrictions on transgender and restrictions on abortion and all of these things, right? And I just don't think you have the data to be able to make that claim. So saying we beat them on policy every day, beat them with a massive majority that came from other reasons is what how I would describe it. You know, I don't know. I guess it's just the we beat them on policy all the time. To me, is like, well, when it's a fair fight, then you can say that. And I wouldn't describe the inherited situation as a fair fight, but I'm quibbling. Okay, I'm quibbling over a small thing. 437-1620, 437-1620. It is interesting. We're having this this ongoing, I won't say conversation, but we're having this ongoing kind of war over what the word freedom means in Florida and across the country. And it's an interesting conversation. I don't think we have enough of this conversation, which is why I wanted to bring it up a little bit. But the notion of what is and is not an expansion of freedom is itself a pretty tricky thing. Because there's freedom to do things, and then there's freedom from things being done to you, right? And every time there's a government action, that government action is going to, almost every time, is going to involve a limitation of one kind of freedom and an expansion of another kind of freedom simultaneously. Like, for instance, okay, if we lived in a world where, I don't know, bullying was not prohibited. Like, you run a school and kids are being bullied, okay? And then you put in place a rule that says no bullying. Well, did you expand or limit freedom? Well, you limited the freedom of the bully, the freedom to, right? You probably infringed on their speech also. But you've expanded the freedom from of the person being bullied, right? You did both. If we lived in a world where, like, theft were common, you know, if you could just steal stuff and you didn't, there was no law against it, okay? And then you passed a law against it. Would that expand or limit freedom? Well, I mean, you're limiting the freedom to steal of the thieves, right? And you're limiting the freedom from being robbed of the property owners. Or you might say the freedom to use their property as they see fit. So you're expanding and limiting freedom. Both. Depends on whose perspective you're looking at. You know, if you're an employer and you have a massive international pandemic and you make a rule that says that people can't continue to work at your job, at your business, unless they wear masks and get vaccinations. And then the state comes along and says, no, you can't do that. People have the right to work even if they don't get a vaccination or if they don't wear a mask. Is the state expanding freedom or limiting it? Well, it's limiting the freedom of the business, right, to run their business as they see fit, the employer. They're also expanding the freedom from coercion medically of the employee, right? So it's both, again, depending on whose side you take. You know, you have a pornographic book in the library, a case that we're dealing with right now. You have pornographic books in the library, and we're removing them from school libraries, I should specify. Are you expanding or are you restricting the freedom of the child? Well, you're limiting their freedom to read something that perhaps they want to read, but you might also argue you're expanding his freedom from harming sexualization as a minor. The right to be free from being sexually molested by an author in a book, right? That's what we consider it when adults show kids inappropriate pornographic images. That's sexual molestation, right? It's, you're harming them. So is it freedom? Is it more freedom or less freedom from the child? Well, less freedom to read what they were interested in reading, more freedom to be free from harming effects. Like, every law is going to be an expansion. And I mean, again, there are some sort of technically that might not involve a limitation of freedom or expansion. I mean, there's some that might just work in one direction. But generally speaking, most laws are going to expand and contract freedom to's and freedom from's, depending on whose perspective you're looking at. Last one, just to kind of, you know, get you thinking a little bit about this. Laws right now, okay, let's say we had a world where, you know, child abuse were not illegal. I mean, currently it is illegal, but imagine that it weren't, and you came along and said, no, 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 you can't do that. You'd be passing a law that would restrict what? The freedom to abuse of the abuser, but also expanding the child's freedom from being abused. And since children are vulnerable, we consider that an important freedom that they have the right to be free from. And so the real question, for example, is whether, you know, access to pornographic or highly sexualized material in a school library, or, for example, elective mastectomies for gender dysphoric children, whether these are things that should be protected from or whether children should have access to, right? Because if you think they should have access to, then this is an unjust restriction on their freedom too. And if you think that they shouldn't be imposed upon by these things, as DeSantis does, as I do, then you think that we are expanding children's freedom from. So when Governor DeSantis signs a law banning, you know, transgender surgeries, is he expanding freedom or contracting freedom? Well, that's a great question. It's not an easy answer. Now, the other side wants to make fun of him saying, you know, Florida is a free state, right? The free state of Florida, make America free like Florida. Like, that's somehow he's a hypocrite because he's saying, you know, don't teach sexual orientation in the young grades. He's saying don't have sexualized books in the library. He's saying don't impose semi-permanent sexual surgeries on children. Well, is that an expansion of freedom or a contraction of it? One side says, well, that's obviously a limitation on freedom. Not if you consider those things harmful to kids, then it's an expansion of their freedom to pass that law. That's all I'm saying. We just don't think very thoroughly about these subjects, and that's okay. I mean, you know, not everybody thinks thoroughly about everything. I'm trying to help you think a little bit more thoroughly about this one thing. 521 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Good Fiesta Parade on Friday. Lots of fun, the Fiesta Parade on Friday. And one of the just, you know, cool little stories, you know, just a kind of an odd little thing. We, Cat Country, is our partner station, our sister station. And we have a box truck that has Cat Country on it, and we also have ESPN on it, on a separate one. And then we have, you know, our news radio on one. And right at the end of the parade, you, like, split off. The walkers turn right and go west on, is it Tarragon? I forget what street that is. I would get some of those streets at the south end of the of town confused, but maybe it's government. Anyway, I don't think it's not government.
I think it's Maine.
Zaragoza? No, not Maine. But Maine is where the trucks go to. Right. You turn one street north of Maine. Anyway. The box trucks go straight and the walkers turn right. Well, I go around the block and I'm coming back to my car down at New World Landing, and I don't really notice anything except that I saw the box trucks were coming west on Main. I'm like, okay. I turn around and I see, well, the box truck is coming west on Main under 6 cop power. The Cat Country bus had apparently had a major engine catastrophe right in that final block of the parade, thank goodness not earlier, and couldn't operate, and so it was being pushed by the cops down Main Street. And it was, like, past me already before I even noticed. And if I'd have run, I wouldn't have even caught up to them. They were going so fast. But so the 6 cops were pushing it because that's what PPD does. So somebody asked me, you know, why do you like police? Because in a parade, when a big truck breaks down, they just jump in and push it to safety. Just like that. And it's kind of funny because Brent Lane, who, of course, hosts the CatPack Morning Show on our sister station, he had not been in quite the same position I was. He was coming later across the street, and he saw it and jumped in to help right away. But so, PPD, thank you. Thank you for helping out. And I'm glad it didn't happen midway through the parade. Because we would have.
No doubt, right?
We would have all been pushing. So, great job, PPD. We appreciate that. 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of vehicles, preferably ones that run all the time, forever and ever, Frontier Motors really specializes... ones where you won't need PPD to push you. No, Frontier specializes in exactly those kind of cars. They're 1, 2, 3 years old, low mileage, great condition, good prices. And that's just exactly lots of those kinds of vehicles. I just drove by there yesterday and, you know, trucks and vans and, you know, sedans and sports cars and all kinds of stuff. About 300 different models on the lot at any moment. And they're the kind of car that you're going to buy one time. And then if you're like me or like Dave Ramsey recommends, you're going to drive them and 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 drive them until, you know, maybe they've got a couple hundred thousand miles on them. And then you replace them with another one just like that. That's the policy I recommend. That's the policy Dave Ramsey recommends. And Frontier Motors is a great place to go follow that policy and get good quality used cars. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join Keith and Pam, your insurance experts with Veris Health Partners, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Learn how to save money on your healthcare costs. Find the right insurance products that best fits the needs for you and your family as you head towards retirement or are looking for options now. They will be taking your calls and questions today at 9 with Veris Health Partners on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
I had a nighttime routine for my frequent heartburn. I would drink milk, I would sleep upright with more pillows, but that painful burning stayed. So I made Prilosec OTC part of my morning routine. With just one pill each morning, Prilosec OTC prevents excess acid production, blocking heartburn day and night. Now I have a new nighttime routine. I call it sleeping.
One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. With Prilosec OTC, it's possible while taking Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days to treat frequent heartburn, not for immediate relief.
When I can't sleep, my mind just races. I think about work, the kids, but I don't think about taking melatonin because I'm afraid I'll feel groggy in the morning.
ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies has an optimal dose of melatonin for no next day grogginess, so you can fall asleep naturally and wake up feeling refreshed. ZzzQuil Pure Z's Gummies for better sleep like never before. And try Pure Z's Sleep plus Next Day Energy with melatonin plus extended release B vitamins.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola today and stay informed about what's happening in your community. We're here to keep you connected. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
This is supposed to be water.
It's wet, ain't it? Drink it!
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Good morning, 526 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. By the way, Candy, welcome back. We missed you for 2 days.
Oh, you did.
The absolute number one thing that we got texts on while Gracie, who was fantastic, was filling in.
Isn't she the best?
She's great. Number is, where's Candy's laugh?
What?
You know, what we need to do is we need to record your laughter. And I'll put it on one of my hotkeys. That way,
when
you're not
annoy
here,
everybody,
then I can play your laughing absolutely. Just to make them feel like it's still the same show.
Absolutely. It'll be like the sonic boom and the assault of a goose.
Oh, can I be just like a nerd, like super nerd jerk for a second on that story, the sonic boom story?
For a second?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I have to really work at it. The sonic boom story over D.C., you know, this plane, this private plane.
My goodness.
They scrambled the jets to go after them.
I was talking about ours, but yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No. So they scrambled a couple F-16s to go after this thing, and they went fast. You know, they went like they do. And they made a sonic boom, and it scared everybody because it's loud. And I'm watching NBC this morning, and you know how in TV, if you're a producer for a TV news show, you're like, all right, I need stock footage to give me something that I can show. And they're showing a formation, like a flyover formation of two F-16s. So far, so good. Mm-hmm. Two F-15s, not part of this story, and a B-1 bomber.
Right?
And I'm watching this and going, oh, dear Lord.
You're going to freak everybody out way worse. Yeah.
Oh, sure. We scrambled a bomber. You know, we scrambled a bone to go after this little plane. Sure we did. Well, you know, you had your footage. There you go. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, speaking of that plane and the F-16s that were scrambled yesterday over Washington, D.C., a Florida businessman says his family was on that plane that crashed. Of course, as you mentioned, it sparked a lot of panic yesterday after violating restricted airspace. The military scrambled those two F-16s. That caused the sonic boom, and then apparently the Cessna ended up crashing in the Virginia wilderness after repeated attempts from NORAD to establish contact.
Yeah, I guess the pilot had, like, passed out or something is what they're thinking, right?
They were saying, the plane may have lost pressure or something like that. And so, just a tragic situation there. And that plane was registered in Brevard County.
Okay.
The FBI expected to bring a document to Capitol Hill today that allegedly describes a $5 million criminal bribery scheme involving President Biden and a foreign national. This after the Republican House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer from Kentucky threatened to hold FBI Director Christopher Wray in contempt of Congress. Democrats calling it a political stunt and say it'll prove nothing. And the man suspected to be involved in the disappearance of an Alabama teenager back in 2005, now being extradited back to the United States, Joran Vandersloot, the prime suspect in the disappearance of Natalie Holloway. She was reported missing in 2005. Her body was never found. and Vandersloot being charged with extortion and wire fraud charges.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 529 News Radio 92.3. The Navy had put up a couple of LGBT pride posts on Instagram and Twitter. A picture of an aircraft carrier with a pride wake, basically a rainbow wake. A picture of a sub with a rainbow wake. And then a picture of, I think it was an F-18, if I remember correctly, with a rainbow wake. Those have now been removed, and nobody saw nothing. Nobody knows why. Nobody's quite sure why. The military is being, well, I don't know. Just stuff happens, you know, sometimes things get taken away. I guess they were worried about losing market share like Bud Light. No explanation. Clearly they were there. Clearly they've been taken down. That's all there is to say about that. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
There was a shooting on Saturday. We'll tell you more about it right after Fox News.
News. I'm Chris Foster. The owner of a small plane that crashed in the Virginia mountains says his daughter, 2-year-old granddaughter, and a nanny were on board with the pilot, all killed. He says they were flying back to New York after visiting him in Tennessee. The plane turned around after reaching Long Island, New York, eventually crashing. The pilot not responding to radio contact. Everybody apparently was passed out. There was a sonic boom in the D.C. area from fighter jets.
Fighter jets from the D.C. National Guard scrambled to intercept an unresponsive Cessna Citation, a business jet that was flying over the nation's capital in Virginia. The military aircraft were authorized to fly at supersonic speeds. NORAD releasing a statement, quote, "During this event, the NORAD aircraft also used flares, which may have been visible to the public, in an attempt to draw attention from the pilot."
Fox's Chris DeMeo. A train crash in India killing nearly 300 people Friday was caused by a signal system error, according to a railway official. Whether it was human or mechanical is under investigation. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 73 degrees. It is mostly clear skies here. Beautiful sunrise in Pensacola this morning. One person was killed. Four other people were hurt Saturday during a shooting on Crescent Drive. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office says there was a large gathering happening at this residence when a gunman walked in and started shooting. Now, investigators do say they believe the deceased victim was being specifically targeted. The other four victims are all expected to survive, and deputies still working to identify a suspect in this case. Two Florida Democrats will not be facing charges after being arrested during a protest in Tallahassee recently. Democrat Party Chair Nikki Fried and Senate Minority Leader Lauren Book were both arrested 2 months ago for trespassing. They were with a dozen other people that were protesting abortion laws. State Attorney Jack Campbell says Fried and Book wanted to get arrested for the attention, and prosecuting them would only extend their notoriety. There could be another SpaceX launch today. The company planning to launch a Falcon 9 at 11:47 Eastern this morning from Kennedy Space Center. The rocket will be carrying a Dragon spacecraft full of supplies destined for the International Space Station. Saturday's launch was scrubbed because of high winds. The launch conditions today are 60% go. A motorcyclist hurt after running into a guardrail in Cantonment Saturday. Florida Highway Patrol says that happened at Jack's Branch and Muskogee Roads on Saturday afternoon. The rider hit the guardrail, said to have serious injuries. They were flown to a local hospital. And a Milton woman celebrating her 104th birthday over the weekend. Mrs. Marie Campbell was born back in 1919 on June 4th. She was a former shipyard worker who helped out with war efforts in World War II, also adopted a son from Germany during that war, and Campbell told Channel 3 that she's lived such a long life because of working with herbs to treat all of her ailments. And a Florida businessman says it was his family that was on that plane that crashed yesterday in Virginia after the chaos in Washington, D.C.
The plane sparked panic yesterday after it violated restricted airspace and forced the military to scramble F-16s at supersonic speeds. That caused a sonic boom that led to phone calls to the police and to news outlets. The civilian plane crashed in the Virginia wilderness after repeated attempts by NORAD to establish contact. John Rumpel says his daughter, 2-year-old granddaughter, her nanny, and the pilot were aboard the plane. He believes that the plane lost pressurization and all aboard passed out prior to the crash. I'm Mark Mayfield.
And right now, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
a beautiful, warm, and humid day today. Temperatures warming up near 85 degrees. 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Tuesday, 20% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with a high near 86. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 73 right now. In Pensacola, 74 in Gulf Breeze, 69 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is your trusted source for hurricane coverage. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will provide you with the latest forecasts and warnings from the National Hurricane Center. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will help you find resources for disaster relief. If a hurricane approaches, News Radio Pensacola will interview experts on hurricane preparedness and safety. No one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3.
Now it's time for another tip from ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
We are the Gulf Coast's premier local digital marketing partner. Did you know every campaign we create is done right here from our radio studio office, right here in Pensacola? Locally customized, locally designed, locally planned, locally executed, and locally optimized for your success by our team of media marketing professionals that really know Northwest Florida and South Alabama. Our team makes sure your campaign contains the most attention-getting display and video elements and the most advanced targeting to make sure your marketing budget is used in the most effective way possible. We are ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners, your team of trusted media professionals under the same roof of the radio names you know and love, like Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola, and Pensacola's Playlist. Begin your partnership with ADX Digital today by emailing connect@adxdigitalmarketing.com.
ADX Digital, your comprehensive digital marketing partners.
Hi, this is Earl Ron, president of New South Window. If you need new windows or doors for your home, heads up, this message is for you. New South is having a one-day factory sale, this Saturday only in our factory showroom. 40% off high-performance award-winning windows, 40% off energy-efficient windows and patio doors, 40% off our factory direct products installed. Bring in your measurements for on-the-spot pricing or call today. One day only, this Saturday from 9 till 4. Please visit us at newsouthwindow.com.
Free grill with every purchase at the factory showroom this Saturday only. Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Dr. Eddie Ruiz oversees all 65 Florida schools under Charter Schools USA. It's clear with Warrington Middle, the incoming company has their work cut out for them.
This is the conditions that it is right now, and it is unacceptable.
This is a typical restroom. Just watch where you step. And don't touch the walls.
In other words, it's not great. Tanner Stewart doing an interview with Dr. Eddie Ruiz with Charter Schools USA at the Warrington campus. I think this aired on Friday, if I recall correctly. And, you know, basically he was saying that, you know, we took over this facility, but we know this facility is a mess. And that's separate from the problem of the students themselves, you know, underperforming, which is the main reason that Warrington has to be in turnaround, because it's been a D or an F school for, is it 9 years or 10 years now? I forget, but, you know, in that vicinity. And, you know, nothing has worked, and so here we go. Well, it's one thing to make sure the students are properly educated, but you've part of that is taking care of the facility itself. And we'll get into some of this in a second. Like, you know, the difficulty of the kids even getting to that school in a safe manner. We'll talk about that in a moment. But anyway, they went on.
A moldy smell.
Yeah.
Of all the schools you've toured, you've had to make over, where would you rank this?
In Florida, it is the number one school that we have to put in a lot of work for.
Wow. Why accept this school? I mean, why take it?
Because these kids deserve the best. I mean, we came and walked through this, and I mean, these kids deserve the best, and that's what we need to do. We need to provide these students that we've, you know, being in 65 schools, we've seen what it, you know, good leadership, good systems, good culture, mm-hmm. Have good results in instruction. And we've seen that. We have a process and it's proven.
So he's clearly optimistic about the possibility. Otherwise, they wouldn't have taken the school over to begin with. But, you know, he said that, sort of where does this rank in the scheme of schools and their conditions? Like, you know, Florida, well, the worst. And that's, by the way, that's the same kind of thing that we heard from the board, you know, the State Board of Education meeting, is that, you know, Warrington is basically the worst school in the state in terms of the challenges in order to get it turned around, which is why it was on the verge of being closed until finally we got a deal with Charter Schools USA. Now, I don't know what to think about this next bit, but they talked about interviewing the students, which I thought was kind of cool that they'd go and talk to the students and, you know, hey, what do you think needs to be improved around here? Because that's just like any good employer is going to talk to the employees, especially if you're taking over a business. You know, you want to find out where we do well, where do we not do well, what can we fix?
We interviewed over 200 students when we were doing our assessment phase. Mm-hmm. And we asked one question at the end and said, if you had unlimited amount of funds and you were the principal of the school, what would you change? 9 out of 10 times they said, can my chicken be cooked and can we have good food? That's what the answer was. So we know that that's going to be important here.
So they're going with a different food provider. But it's weird because on the one hand, that's horrible. I mean, imagine you're at school, you're at your school lunch, and you get the chicken and, like, the chicken's still raw in the middle. And if there's 9 out of 10, if he's right, if, like, 90% of the kids surveyed mentioned that, I mean, that's just... oh, so nasty. On the other hand, it sort of feels like, you know, in those like genie movies where you get the three wishes and then you're like, you know, man, I wish it weren't so hot in here while I'm making this decision. Boom, you know, and that's one of your wishes. You know, like it seems like wishing that the chicken gets cooked seems like a pretty low. But if the chicken is raw,
that's a pretty low
consistently,
bar.
It's a pretty disgusting thing. Yeah. That, you know, you can't even get the basic food right. Like, that's a problem, right? How much are the doctors or how much are the teachers going to make?
I can tell you, we started at 47.5, and then based on experience, we'll start $10,000 adder, $12,500, and then $15,000.
Okay.
So a teacher could potentially make 57.5, 60, or 62.
Yep. So that's more than a starting teacher makes based on qualifications, I believe. But I thought we were starting teachers right under 50. Now, I thought it was like 49.9 or something like that. You know, it's like the Earl Shive teacher hire price. I thought that was the price in Florida right now, but I could be misremembering that after some of the raises that have gone in the last few years. And then, you know, just kind of a final thought that Dr. Ruse had.
We need good teachers. We need people with good hearts, and it's not going to be easy. It is going to be a tough road as we move forward. We're not saying we're going to come and save this school. We need the community as part of this. We need our parents as part of this. This is going to be a monumental task to kind of lift off the ground.
And, you know, that's nice that he has that idea that we're not just going to fix this all on ourselves, which is certainly true. And then how do you get the community, particularly the parents involved? Now, there's more to this story, and I appreciate Channel 3 talking about this on Friday. But a clip that I never was able to play for whatever reason, I just didn't managed to find the time, goes all the way back to a couple of weeks ago at the Escambia County Commission. This was on the 18th. Mike Kohler, this is when we still didn't quite know what was going to happen with that school. Mike Kohler, his wife, he's Escambia County Commissioner for District 2, his wife teaches at the school.
Today's kind of a day in history. Today, the last Warrington graduation class is going to happen here in an hour, and then it'll be over. And I kind of called a school kidnapping what happened this week, and then a ransom note from the State Board of Education giving them 48 hours to either comply or they don't get paid. It's the most bizarre thing I've seen. Thank God I'm not on the school board.
Yeah, and one of the things that he talked about quite a bit, not just right in that meeting, but even if you go back a little farther, is the problems around that school and Jones Swamp and the homeless and the garbage the kids are sometimes walking through because of there's one particularly bad apartment complex in that area that they live in.
Last Saturday, I went out and worked with Ocean Hour in Jones Swamp and Lexington Park picking up trash. We picked up around 600 pounds. Picking up trash is, it seems like it's a problem everywhere in District 2, but we're working it. But what was more devastating to me was when we were picking up trash, it reminded me of my times when I was in Tijuana, Mexico, or Naples, Italy. When we went through Jones Swamp, there was homeless everywhere with children, with dogs. It's just unreal. And we've got to get a solution sooner than later. I appreciate John Roberts today going out and helping me with the animals. I can't thank you enough. We had homeless people that couldn't take care of the animals anymore, that they couldn't feed them. It's just, I can't wait for this May 9th meeting to see what we're going to do, but we have to do something. Or this, our community, at least in District 2 and District 3, is definitely changing.
And now, you know, Jones Swamp is a little bit to the west, Lexington Terrace is to the south, but kind of in the vicinity. And then you've got this one, all of a sudden I can't remember the name of the apartment complex that's right there, but they've talked about that many times being a real problem, like just trash all over the streets. And the reason I bring this up is because if you've got a child living in that kind of condition and they live in, it's just awful, right? And often, not always, I'll say often, but not always, the home life is not good. Okay. These are poor people. Okay. A lot of times, right? If they had more means, they'd probably choice out of there. Okay. They can anyway, but they may not be aware. I'll get to that in a second, but they're living in a not great situation often. They are walking through a pretty crummy neighborhood, and then they're going to a school where you don't even feel like it's safe to really go in the bathroom because things are falling apart, and then they can't even cook the chicken to be done. And that's the picture you get of life for a Warrington middle school student, okay? Even if otherwise things for you are right, how well do you think you'd likely do in that environment? See, I just think a lot of times conservatives, we make a mistake of kind of, you know, well, how hard can it be to pull yourself up by your bootstraps? And how hard can, you know, it's a mistake we make because we kind of project our circumstances onto somebody else's challenge. You know, transportation is the most common one. Most people who do okay in life have easy access to transportation for a car, right? You don't even think about it. The idea of getting somewhere is just a, well, which car do I take today? You know, like that's the problem, right? But for a lot of people, and I don't mean this to be like some sweeping indictment, just always keep stuff in mind that you might tend to want to overlook and forget. You know, well, if my kids were having trouble at school, I would take care of it. Okay, sure. How would you get to the school to take care of it? Well, I mean, I would drive. What do you mean? How would I get there? Okay, well, it must be nice to have a car. You know, well, yeah, it is. What do you mean? Well, you know that a lot of these parents don't have cars. And they might work two or three jobs that they have to bike to work to do or walk to work to do. And so, you know, going to meet a teacher is not convenient for some. That's not the totality of the explanation. It's just the things we kind of sometimes take for granted might be different for them. Even a parent that's trying to do right by their kids, and not all are, but some are, and they simply can't. Just it's, you know, keeping that in mind and getting a picture and then, okay, here comes Charter Schools USA. We're going to try to fix this. How are we going to fix this? Well, we're going to cook the chicken and we're going to clean up the bathrooms. What? Well, that's a step, right? That's a step. That's part of the psychological circumstances surrounding the educational experience. Now you're starting to make school into the place where kids want to come. They get eager to come. It's kind of, oh, no, oh, look at this, you know, ritzy me with my, you know, my nice paper towels, you know, like it might not seem like much, but then you pair that with, you know, properly motivated teachers. And I know a lot of the teachers at Warrington already are, you know, or properly engaged, you know, management, which maybe some of them were. And that's the prospect of possibly reforming this school. I don't know if it's going to work. I think all of us don't know if it's going to work. We're just hoping, you know, and maybe with a combined effort to clean up the neighborhood and maybe with a combined effort to clean up the school and maybe to get a different set of management in there to try to organize it, maybe this works. Then again, there are structural problems. And one of the problems is, you know, you've got a school here where the better capable students with the better engaged parents and the more resource available parents have choiced into other schools, as Lumen May says. He's right about this.
You're right. It's devastating what's happened to those children at Warrington Middle School. And many of those children live in District 3, but they go to school in your district, and the political ramifications of what's happened to the daily lives of those children, in my opinion, are unacceptable. And you're right. It's not in my lane because I don't serve on the school board. But if we don't have an educated workforce, if we don't have training, then our economic development efforts will go in vain.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole lot more to fix than just having good jobs at the back end of this whole process, right?
Because of school choice, children can go to school anywhere they want. You can't dictate to them that they have to go to school at Warrington or they have to go to a particular school. And quite frankly, I don't think that the school board gets that information out to the citizens. And in my district, my children for the last 10 years have been going out of school, out of district at an alarming rate, probably at the tune of more than 50%. Because they can't get the proper and the adequate education inside the district in which they live. So they have to travel to places that they may never live to go to school because we've not invested what we should have invested in the educational system. And so for the parents who are listening, you do, and whatever the legislature decides, that's what they decide. You do have a choice to go to school. And I encourage people to exercise their right to go and do what's best for their children.
You know, for all of the talk that we hear sort of in theoretical terms about how private schools, school choice is bad for the public school system because the good students flee to go to the private schools with the vouchers or even without them, that's kind of the issue with that. You also have the issue of having choice within a district, you know, because these folks can choose to go to other schools. Half of them do already. Well, who doesn't? Who doesn't? Who remains in the Warrington School District? Well, the ones who don't know, or the ones who don't care enough, or the ones whose parents aren't willing, you know, none of these are good things. So who's left at Warrington Middle School? All the rest. And that's a challenge. Now, the school is going to be open again. And that was part of the issue with the closure of the school potentially is, well, now you'd take, you know, all of those students and split them up between two other schools. But now they're going to stay with a different attitude. Anyway, just there's a lot to understand. It's not so simple as to say we got this school that's a D school. And it's been that way for 10 years. It's just not quite as simple as all of that. And in a way, school choice helps those who choice out. But then what happens to the kids who remain? And what happens to the school grade of in the school where the kids remain? 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are looking for that house, that next house, or that first house, you know, a lot of times when I talk about Christina Leavenworth, I talk about her as a great person to sell a house you already have. And that's true. I mean, she really is fantastic at selling. I mean, you know, even in this market, the way things have slowed down and gotten a little bit colder, you got, you know, often 1 or 2 day sales, often above list price, not always, okay, but, you know, it's not uncommon. But on the other side, she's really good at finding a home and getting you a good deal on buying a home. Why? Because she understands the seller's perspective. She knows how, you know, if she's looking at a home, she can tell, well, this home's going to sell for this much. You know, if you want to win this bidding, if you want to win against the other people, here's what you got to bid. Here's how you put this patch together. Here's how they're going to, this is what they will negotiate on. This is what they will not negotiate on. And here's how you make them like you so you can buy this home. And the reason I say that is because when you're a first-time home buyer, especially like, you know, if the rental market has driven you crazy and you want to get into a house, knowing or having somebody with you who really knows how to do all of this is a fantastic resource. And it's overwhelming the first time you buy. You don't know anything, and you're trying to figure it all out and not make a mistake and not get taken advantage of, and then making sure you sign all the right paper. Just all of that stuff, she will take care of it. So whether you are selling or buying, especially if you're buying for the first time, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Sometimes a family needs a little help to deal with life stresses. You can contribute to happy, healthy childhoods with a few simple steps. Notice families under stress. Offer a helping hand. Give your time. Talk about healthy child development. Connect a family with resources. Contributing to a great childhood can be as easy as being a good neighbor. For more, PreventChildAbuseFL.org. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
But the most important rule, the rule you can never forget, no matter how much he cries, no matter how much he begs, never, never feed him after midnight.
Good morning, 5:56 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Welcome back, Candy.
So
just
much.
A brief 2-day hiatus, mm-hmm. You know, as sometimes
yeah, my
happens.
Husband let me come back to work. Unlike other people.
David Wayne okay. is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says his military is ready to launch a counteroffensive against Russian forces occupying parts of his country. Zelensky telling the Wall Street Journal, quote, "We are ready and strongly believe that we will succeed." Senator Joe Manchin is not saying whether or not he's planning on running a third-party presidential campaign. Speaking on Fox News on Sunday, he said that people want to be governed from the middle rather than the far left or right. And there's been another train derailment, this one in Marlow in southwest Oklahoma. This derailment causing a few small fires. Rosie Pauling lives nearby, says it's a mess.
Came from the backyard and came up to my neighbors right here and saw all of this. So it was very loud. And then there was fire all up and down the railroad tracks.
Now, they're saying that there were a couple of cars in this train that were carrying hazardous materials, but most of them were just carrying flour and other non-toxic cargo. Nobody was hurt, and it's still under investigation.
I'm still stuck on this Joe Manchin as presidential candidate thing. David, thanks so much for the update. That's a really interesting theory. What I'm trying to work through in my head is if he did run, I guess he'd have to run outside the Democrat. I mean, he could run as a Democrat. I think he could beat Biden. Well, I don't know. Man. See, the problem is Republicans like that Joe Manchin abandoned the Democrat Party several times in important votes. But yeah. I don't think Republicans look at him as our guy. You know, like he's nice to have as, you know, like a traitor. But I don't know that we want him running our side, right? And I think the other side views him, I think, understandably, as a traitor. You know, a guy who betrayed the cause when they had the opportunity to do some things and he was the holdout vote. And so I don't know that Democrats go for him. I don't know that Republicans go for him. But I do think he's, if ever there were a candidate who would really be the sort of middle candidate with some theoretical appeal to both sides, he'd be it. So then my question is, okay, so let's say he runs and let's say he loses the primary, if he runs as a primary, and then he's running as an independent, who does he hurt? Because that's always the question. You know, does he have a chance to win? I don't see it. Who does he hurt? Probably Biden. Okay, I think Biden's got more moderate Democrat voices to lose, but then again, depending on who our nominee is, if it's Trump, it doesn't matter because the anti-Trump vote will come out to anybody who can beat Trump. I don't know. So, I don't know. It's an interesting problem to kind of work through what that would mean for the elections. And, you know, can Joe Manchin win primaries against Joe Biden?
You know what? I think He can.
I do too. Now that the more I mull it. Go ahead.
His best friend is Nick Saban. I know. Okay. But that's all that has to happen is Nick has
if
to
Nick
come
Saban
out and
endorses
going,
him.
Yes.
Of course, I don't know that
Roll
that plays
tide.
All that well in, like, you know,
it does.
Michigan and Oklahoma.
Roll tide.
Maybe,
Roll
but
tide.
It'll definitely in the South.
Do you not
sure.
hear me? Roll Tide.
All right. I don't hear those words. It's like I'm ear blind to them. They're such horrible words.
Local talk in the morning.